Welcome to the University of Illinois Press podcast, The Upside. I'm Michelle Woods, the journal's marketing and communications manager for the press, and today I'm excited to present our podcast recognizing the 15th volume year of the Journal of Animal Ethics. We'll be discussing the journal's history, a preview of the latest issue, and the discipline of animal ethics, and what the journal seeks in future submissions. Plus, in celebration of this milestone, the entire first issue of the journal is free to access until December 31st, 2025. Our special guest today is Claire Lindsay, editor of Journal of Animal Ethics. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me. I'm Claire Lindsay. I'm the co-editor of the Journal of Animal Ethics with Andrew Lindsay. He's the director of the Oxford Centre for Animal Ethics, and I'm the deputy director of the Oxford Centre for Animal Ethics. I also hold the post of research fellow in animal ethics at Wycliffe Hall at the University of Oxford.
Great. Thank you so much. First, for those unfamiliar with the Journal of Animal Ethics is a biannual publication devoted to the exploration of progressive thought about animals. It's multidisciplinary in nature and international in scope. It covers theoretical and applied aspects of animal ethics, of interest to academics from the humanities and the sciences, as well as professionals working in the field of animal protection. You can learn more about where to read the journal online, how to subscribe, how to submit your own work, and more on our website at go.illinois.edu/jane. Before we jump into more about the journal, let's start with a seemingly basic question, but one I think is really important for this conversation. Could you please tell me how you define animal ethics?
It's a great question. I think a lot of what you already said sort of covers it. I mean, it is about progressive thought on animals. And the easiest way to think about it is really, so thought on animals has been normally divided into kind of animal rights type language and animal welfare type language. Animal ethics attempts to bridge both of those positions. So we discuss both more philosophical things, but also more practical things about animal ethics. But it's really just about our moral treatment of animals.
Thank you, Claire. It's really helpful to have that framework for understanding the field and what scholarship the journal contributes. And now, you've been editor for the past 9 years after joining in 2016. Have you noticed any changes in the content during that time?
Well, the journal started with Andrew and Priscilla Cohn when she was still alive. And really, at the point of the journal, and why we really wanted to do it, was to really put academic thinking about animals on the map. Often, animal academics don't have a natural home to write about animal ethics, and we wanted to develop that space. And I think that space has developed a lot in a variety of ways since I became co-editor. I think we began quite philosophically in some ways, dealing with different thinkers. But whilst we've always maintained a practical component to actually what's happening to animals, I think that that has grown. And I think we have tried to keep it as multidisciplinary as possible. So sometimes we have more literature things and we have more science publications. But I think the main thing that's happened is I feel like our reach has expanded. We get a lot more submissions from around the world, from India, for example, or Brazil or Asia. And I think that that's really one of the strengths of it. It's we're really accruing a more global worldview, as well as a strong focus in North America and Europe.
Oh, absolutely. We can see how the journal has grown into something much broader and more globally connected. We're going to circle back to the more recent content shortly, but first let's talk about the first issue, which, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, is free to access through the end of 2025. Of the many interesting pieces in the issue, there are two arguments: Canada's Commercial Seal Hunt, It's More Than Just a Question of Humane Killing, by David M. Levine and William S. Lynn, and Undue Recognition of Animals Used in Research by Joel Marks. Can you talk a bit about the format of an argument and how it contributes to the scholarship of the field?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if other journals really have this, but when Andrew and Priscilla started the journal, they thought it was really important to have these shorter argument pieces, and they tend to focus more on a practical animal issue, like you said, like Canada's Commercial Seal Hunt or something about animals used in research. And really, it's to enable scholars to focus on just one particular issue and look at it in short form. And I think that that, over the years, has produced a really interesting just highlight of practical things that are happening to animals to highlight their suffering or to highlight the ways in which we use them, which we don't otherwise really know about, right? For example, one argument piece last year talked about aquaculture in Tasmania and the ways in which that's growing and the ways in which fish are affected, but also the ways in which it's affecting the environment. And that's, you know, maybe not a long enough piece to write 3,000 to 5,000 words, but a short, crisp piece arguing why this is a problem is, I just think, a really interesting thing to do as a scholar, because normally we write longer pieces. So it gives you the opportunity to tackle the issue head on.
Oh, I agree. It's such a unique feature of the journal. The arguments bring attention to topics that might otherwise get overlooked for not having enough content to fill a full-length article. Another thing that stood out to me from this issue is that two of the articles included response articles. Barbara Froding and Martin Peterson discussed some aspects of animal ethics from an Aristotelian virtue ethics point of view in Animal Ethics Based on Friendship, which is followed by Friendship and Animals, a Reply to Froding and Peterson by Mark Rowlands. Also, the article Should Whiteheadians Be Vegetarians? A Critical Analysis of the Thoughts of Whitehead, Birch, Cobb, and McDaniel by Jan Deckards has an accompanying response from Jay McDaniel. Can you please give us insight into how the journal provides space for these academic discourses?
Yeah, I think what's partly interesting about the first volume and the debates you've highlighted there is that they're actually about a specific thinker's work on animals. And so often, in this case with Aristotle, people are looking at whether we can be friends with animals. That's really what the debate is about there. And actually, this debate has carried on throughout different issues of the journals, as other people have chosen to reply to both of these articles, which I think is really interesting. In fact, the question of animal ethics-based friendship in relation to Aristotle seems to be a very live philosophical debate that we're tracing. What I like about this format is that it allows scholarly debate in a way that is respectful, but is also, you know, concurrent and interesting. You get to see two different scholars' perspectives on things put forward. And we've done that in a variety of different issues. There was one issue dedicated to animal ethics in Africa, and different thinkers responded to each other, which was really fun. And I just think it's just an interesting tool because you get to see contrasting points of view and they respond to each other. And really, outside of conferences, that isn't something you see side by side very often in academic discourse, which I just think is really just a nice thing to do. I mean, it's more tricky in terms of the editing, but I think it's definitely worth it.
So a quick follow-up question about that. It seems like philosophy interacts very closely with animal ethics here. Are there other disciplines that crossover frequently in the publications?
Well, I mean, I think because we are multidisciplinary, you see a lot of disciplines being engaged. We have a lot of law published, I would say, and we have a lot of, really, I think it forms less around the disciplines and more around the issues. So we tend to publish quite a bit on animal experimentation. We publish quite a bit on animal agriculture. We publish quite a lot on different thinkers. Actually, this journal, the most recent issue, has some literary scholars in there. So I think we do our best to garner it from lots of different places. Philosophy, because modern thought on animals was really born in philosophy. Philosophy maintains a prime place in the journal just because it's where the dialogue began. But I think it's really broadened out beyond that. It's not just philosophy. And we do try to make the issues such that if you like philosophy, there's something there, but then there's some other disciplines as well. So it's not just a one discipline focused issue. Hopefully you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. A focus on the issues rather than the discipline so that the journal provides a variety of scholarship. And you've already kind of led us in this direction because I was going to shift to the most recent issue, Volume 15, Issue 1, in which both of these features, an argument and an article with a response, also appear. What are some of the articles we can find in the most recent issue? I know you've already mentioned that there are some literary focused pieces.
Well, yeah, so I think it's an issue I really enjoy. We always begin with the argument piece. This time is on the practice of Buddhist ritual release, which happens a lot in Asia, and whether that is an ethically progressive thing to do, because, I mean, obviously it sounds like it would be, but the author suggests actually that the animals are not just released, they're actually then recaptured and then you pay to release them again. So it's an interesting issue, what amounts to practical animal liberation there. And then we've got some really practical pieces as well, questions about the moral ambiguity of animal-assisted therapy and what does that look like. Really interesting plying debate between Paulina Semenik and Joan Schaffner. Paulina is arguing that domesticated animals should have the rights to their own reproductive preferences. So it's an argument that animals, basically, we shouldn't spay and neuter our animals. And that's replied to by Joan Schaffner. And it's kind of a legal argument, but it's also a deeply practical one. You know, if we don't neuter our companion animals, you know, what happens to all the unwanted animals that are left? So when somebody is proposing something, you know, a little controversial, it's really nice to have a little bit of discussion there. And then Lucille Thibodeau and Malcolm Hay both talk about literary scholars. Malcolm's work is on Robert Burns To a Mouse, which is just a really lovely piece. And then Lucille is talking about Christopher Smart and William Stafford and the idea of poets as animal thinkers. It's a really nice issue in that sense, because we've got a real diversity of disciplines and a lot of things really speaking to each other. And then it ends with a piece on the role of propaganda in the meat industry, advertising, which is, you know, really nice to bring it back to something practical. So again, we kind of try to ebb and flow between practical and the philosophical, or the practical and the more theoretical parts, because often practical issues are less discussed in academia. So we like to bring it back to that.
This issue does sound like a really great example of the multidisciplinary nature of the journal with all those different types of articles. So as we look forward into the next 15 years of the journal, are there certain areas of scholarship that you think need more attention? Or are there any trends that we should be watching for in the field?
Well, I would like to see more argument pieces. They are not as often submitted, actually. And I think they're a really nice tool for discussing practical issues. So pieces that focus on practical issues that we might actually see some moral progress on in our lifetimes would just be really wonderful to see. I think often academia tends towards the theoretical, and I, as you can probably tell, I enjoy the practical things, because I think they shed light on things we don't know, and so much of what happens to animals is unseen. So it's really nice to just raise awareness. I think in terms of, I mean, you never know what we're going to get, really. But I do think the trend is towards a more global perspective. I think we're receiving more and more submissions from around the world. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more global submissions. And in terms of things that need attention, I mean, I think the practical always needs the attention. But I think areas in which animals are actively suffering or need closer moral inspection, I hope that those will be the ones that come to the fore. But also, I think it's really hard to know. I've seen animals in literature as an area really bloom recently, and actually animal history as well. So I don't know what's going to be next. It would be really nice to see some more publications, I think, perhaps in like areas of like animals and sociology or animals and social work, those kinds of things. We've started to see that emerge, but I would like to see more of that as well. And also, you know, in the realms perhaps of education, and you see that creeping in as well, but I think there's definite scope for that to grow.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of different opportunities and directions it can go. So I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about your work as a journal editor, because you have an extensive publishing history in the field, including as author and as editor. So how do you feel like your work as journal editor has influenced your work as a scholar?
Oh, I think being an editor of the Journal of Animal Ethics is a massive privilege. It's been really personally helpful for me, because you get to read all the current debates that are happening in the area. You also get to, even if you don't have time necessarily to read all the books, you get to read all the reviews of all the books. And so you have nice little summaries of whatever the hot topics are right now, what people are discussing. So I think that's really helpful. And sometimes as an academic, you can feel quite in your own little silo thinking about things. And then somebody writes something and you're like, oh, that really relates to how I'm thinking about this. And that's really interesting. So I'm really interested in ideas of perception and sight and what we can see in relation to animals. And there's a lot of really interesting things going on there. We also published an article last year on hope in the animal movement. And I found that to be both inspiring, but also just really helpful for my own thought, how you keep as an academic writing on difficult academic subjects. So it's always inspiring to hear what other people are saying. And I think it's an enormous privilege in many ways to get to work on such an interdisciplinary volume, because it means that my own work becomes more interdisciplinary than, you know, naturally I'm a theologian, but I write in a much more multidisciplinary way myself because I'm exposed so much more. And I think that's what's really fun about animal ethics. Yeah, and particularly being an editor. In fact, actually, we just got a book that's come out this week. It's called Animal History, History as if Animals Mattered. It's published by Whippenstock, but it's actually a publishing of a collection of different pieces from the Journal of Animal Ethics on animal history. And the idea is that it really brings together animal history as an emerging discipline and, you know, sets some questions there, which I think is really exciting because we've seen a lot of scholars turn towards talking about animals in history. So I'm really proud to be part of that. And it's really wonderful that Illinois let us use some of the essays to make that happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had any upcoming projects or recent projects that you wanted to talk to us about. Is there anything else besides that book?
Oh, well, sure. So some of the papers come out of the annual Oxford Animal Ethics Summer School. So sometimes you'll see, oh, there's some papers on the media in here. And that might be because they were presented at the summer school, which is thematic. And one year we had it on animals and the media, for example. So the summer school is coming up in August. This year's topic is the ethics of captivity. And we're also moving into more practical issues there. But previous ones have included animal thinkers, animal law, animal experimentation. So we try our best to also run the range of different animal topics. But that's a big part of my year. Leads to all that. And it's a lovely community that comes together and talks about animals and encourages each other. We've got several book volumes on the way. Palgrave Companion to Humane Education will be out sometime next year. There's a book on the ethics of predator control that's also coming out by Routledge, and several others in the works. So we're always publishing here. We do a lot of publication, and that's an enormous privilege to be able to help publish other people's work. It's one of the things I like most about being an editor, is that you really get to encourage upcoming scholars. You get to, yeah, you get to help them refine their work and, you know, and hopefully do something that helps forward their career, which I just think is really a gift to be able to do. And I'm proud to be able to do that. But yeah, so everything I do really turns towards either publishing lots of books or helping that academic animal community by helping them publish things or present things. And then, you know, when I'm lucky, there's a little bit of time to write my own individual monograph books. And I'm still working on my next.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing that too. And thank you for bringing up your role at the center, because I did want to talk a little bit more about that too. So just to recap, I know we already said the Journal of Animal Ethics is published in partnership with the Oxford Center for Animal Ethics, the aim of which is to pioneer ethical perspectives on animals through academic research, teaching, and publication. Andrew is director and Claire is deputy director. I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of the other projects at the center beyond the journal, beyond the publications. I know you mentioned the summer school already, and that's a big part of it. But are there other things going on that we should know about?
Oh, sure. So if you're lucky enough to be a student at Oxford, we run the Oxford University Animal Ethics Society, and that is a lot of fun. It's a really lively student community which meets bi-weekly in term, and students present, and then over some wine, they debate different animal issues, which is really exciting. And we've just launched our alumni society for that. So if there are any alumni to the student society who are listening, please do get in touch. So that's one thing that I'm very excited about. We also teach, obviously, when we get the chance to, but mostly it's a lot of publication, and the summer school is a large part of what we do. Oh, and also we are releasing shortly a documentary. Can't believe I almost forgot about this. It's called The Animal Thing, and it traces the work of our director, Andrew Lindsay, and it's got into a bunch of film festivals last year, including the St. Louis International Film Festival, which is an Academy Award qualifier. So we're very pleased about that. And yeah, it's hopefully going to be coming to iTunes and some select theatres in the fall. So that's one project that's been going on a while, and I'm very excited to see that so that everybody can see the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a huge project. We will definitely look forward to that too. So, thanks for that additional context of how the journal fits among these other projects of the center. We can certainly look forward to the wealth of new scholarship from the journal and other opportunities to advance the field of animal ethics from the center. And so, I wanted to thank you once again for participating in this podcast. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you today.
The pleasure's been all mine. Thank you so much, Michelle.
And a big thank you also to you, our listeners, for joining us today in celebration of the 15th volume year of Journal of Animal Ethics. To learn more about the journal, visit go.illinois.edu/jane. For further reading, the University of Illinois Press is also the publisher of Public Affairs Quarterly, several other philosophy journals, and Circus World by Andrea Ringer. You can view all of these and more at press.illinois.edu. Thank you.